Prime Time replay from Money FM 89.3. On Money FM 89.3, Tech Talk with Wong Kai Yee, tech contributor with the Business Times.
You're listening to Prime Time on Money FM 89.3. And as mentioned earlier, it is time for us to get our geek on, Tech Talk with our tech contributor, Wong Kai Yee. Thanks for joining us as always, Kai Yee.
Thanks, Howie. Nice to be back.
So it's been a week since the launch of Disney's new subscription-based streaming service, Disney Plus. Thousands of user accounts have been stolen by hackers and put up for sale on the dark web. This according to multiple reports. How have the accounts been compromised, do we know?
1 week ago, we were just talking about the launch of Disney Plus, and now we're talking about them getting hacked. Well, I'm. Is it bad that I'm not surprised by this news? I think...
Really pessimistic.
Yeah, I know. I mean, when I saw the news, I was like, it's a new world and we're all getting hacked left and right. But it's not that it's anything good. So apparently, just hours after the service was rolled out, like, hackers had hijacked user accounts and were either offering them for free on hacking forums on selling them for prices between $3 to $11
per account.
Yeah, per account.
Okay.
So, well, really cheap if you were a very nefarious person and you wanted to get your hands on it.
But we're talking about thousands.
Exactly. So if you get a cache of user IDs and passwords and you multiply that by just $3, now you get, it's like $5,000 on one go. And users apparently said that hackers were accessing their Disney Plus accounts. How they kept them out of their accounts was logging them out of their devices, then changing the email and password associated with that account so the legitimate users couldn't log back in. And the BBC also reported that it found hacked customer accounts for sale on the dark web, like you mentioned. And, well, that place is just a cesspool for anything, really. And the important thing to note, actually, is that Disney told CNBC that the company was not hacked. It was not hacked, so it didn't...
As if Disney wasn't hacked.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, Disney wasn't hacked. It's just that, you know, basically how these hackers work is that they try user accounts on multiple, user IDs on multiple accounts. So, for example, if your Spotify account was Bing 123 and you use that across all your accounts, hackers would be like, hey, you know, this guy actually uses the same user ID across all accounts.
Oh, wow.
And they're able to sort of track you across them.
That's a lot of people actually make that mistake.
Hands up. Yep. Well, I'm guilty of that, I must admit. This is really this kind of attack is called credential stuffing.
So obviously this is a lesson. I mean, is there any other lessons that we should all learn from this?
Well, exactly, Bernard. This is exactly a lesson we all should learn from this. Number one, don't use similar passwords or user IDs across all accounts.
Just when I'd gotten down the idea of different passwords and then strong passwords for everything, now the user ID.
Yeah. Well, you could use the same user ID if you use the same email, but the password has to be different.
Of course.
And it's good that you're using longer and tougher passwords.
And with a mix of numericals as well.
Yes, a good password has everything in it. It's got special characters, lowercase, uppercase, numbers, everything you could, like, sort of match your keyboard.
So it could conceivably still be okay if I stayed Abing 1234. Just as long as the password is different from each account.
Exactly.
That's correct.
So one of the ways that I sort of recommend is that you can use a password manager. So there are many, many of them out there. They remember your login details for each individual website that you visit. All you have to do is remember a master password to unlock that password manager.
Right.
And that password manager logs you into anything that you use. So it's really simple. You could have like a crazily long password, 24 characters long with lots of dollar signs and asterisks and all that sort of stuff.
And bad words.
Yeah, if you think of, maybe that's a good way to create a strong password.
Okay, so MIT researchers have developed an AI system for self-driving cars that classifies human drivers' social personalities to improve decision-making in tricky road situations. Basically, it means that in the future, autonomous cars could decide if you're a bad driver or not and make decisions based on that judgment. So how would such an artificial intelligence work, Kai?
First thing is that hopefully the AI doesn't classify someone wrongly. If you're a good driver and it classifies you as a bad driver, So anyway, the AI basically stems from an idea that self-driving cars can be programmed to classify the social personalities of other drivers. So basically, this classification allows the vehicle to make better predictions about upcoming dangers. So the researchers, the MIT researchers in this instance, they use something called social value orientation to assess how egotistical or quote unquote pro-social mm-hmm. other drivers are. So are you a pro-social driver or are you an egotistical one? Mm-hmm. Do you speed up when people try to cut into your lane or do you give way? That's the difference here. So basically using this assessment, the AI looks at other drivers and it generates real-time driving trajectories for self-driving cars. So basically it tries to guess what the other car is doing and try to maneuver itself into the lane.
Mm-hmm. I'm just wondering, Kaye, wouldn't robotic behavior be slightly easier to predict? I mean, as compared with a so-called unpredictable human behavior like yours or mine?
Yeah, that's contrary to normal thinking, isn't it? Like, if the car behaves like, quote-unquote, more robotically, like just travels on the road at a regular speed, doesn't change lanes, that sort of thing, that people will be more attuned to this vehicle. But apparently not, according to the researchers. So the lead author said that creating more human-like behavior in autonomous vehicles is actually important for the safety of passengers, since behaving in such a manner enables humans to better understand and appropriately respond. So it's kind of like
it's kind of like a twist
on it. But if you think about it, it actually does make a little bit of sense, because on the roads, you know, we try and predict other drivers what they're going to do. When, if, for example, just put yourself in a car driving back at about 6:30 or 7:30 p.m. on the roads, you know, other drivers are trying to cut in and out, that sort of thing. So in an innate sense, you have an idea of what that car is going to do. For example, like, I don't know, if a car is sort of weaving in and out of lanes, you're going to avoid him altogether. Like, you're going to stay like, I don't know, 50, 100 meters back, and then I'm not going to touch this car, right?
So, but if it's all smooth sailing, you can't then anticipate if anything would go wrong.
Exactly. But then therein lies the rub. See, if everything is smooth sailing, this is the utopia of self-driving cars, that everyone drives has an autonomous vehicle, traffic will be smooth flowing and everything will be fine. But unfortunately, we are not there yet. We are not at the stage where we are going to be driving around autonomous vehicles. That's going to be at least, I don't know, another decade, two decades away from now.
Right. Yeah. We're speaking to our regular tech contributor, Wong Kai Yi, on Tech Talk. Oh. Hello.
Oh, what's this?
So if you're heading to Tokyo for the holidays, keep your eyes peeled for the new Nintendo store. The company unveiled its first Japanese store on Tuesday in Tokyo's trendy Shibuya shopping district in a step towards greater commercialization of its cast of popular characters, that being one of them, I'm sure. So Kai, what can Super Mario fans expect when they visit the store?
Ah, the world's most famous plumber. Super Mario.
Plus his brother Luigi.
Luigi.
Yeah, remember him.
And Mario. Big Super Mario fans, yeah?
Yeah. I'm really quite a big Super Mario fan.
Me too.
I love playing Super Mario on my Nintendo Switch. I actually do have a Switch. So the store, the Tokyo store in the Parco department, basically marks the latest move for Nintendo into gamer culture. And the store was previewed to the media on Tuesday. It offers a range of goods featuring characters like, well, Mario, of course, Adventurer Link from Legend of Zelda.
Oh, okay.
And Kirby, you know, that pink alien, that pink blob. Kirby, he's a little round ball that walks on 2 feet.
He's very small. Kirby, okay.
Yeah. And also it has exclusive products from Legend of Zelda branded ties. So you can walk around with a Link on your tie, to Animal Crossing themed oven gloves. Anything you want, t-shirts. I think there's even like bags with Mario characters on it.
Oh,
yes.
Okay, why didn't such a store open sooner? I mean, by the sound of it, all three of us, you really like the idea. So why did it open earlier?
So, well, let's take it back. So Nintendo actually really has a tight grip on its characters. It didn't even release a mobile game until, you know, it was almost too late. So Nintendo really sold the idea of playing Super Mario on its own devices. So the Nintendo 3DS, that two-screen device. Yeah, so it tried to hem users into playing its games on its own devices. But unfortunately, you know, gamers had already moved on to mobile gaming, and we see how big this is nowadays. And Nintendo sort of almost missed the boat on this. Almost reluctantly, they released a mobile game only just a few years ago, and it was a Mario-themed game. And basically, they said, well, I guess we'll get into this. And taking a step forward into this new Tokyo store. So I guess now they're trying to open up their cast of characters into now apparel, merchandising. And this kind of follows what the Pokemon company has actually been doing. So I think
viable a business model though, you know, like retail is going online now. To open a brick and mortar store now.
Retail is the key, and Pokemon, the Pokemon company seems to have got that down to an art. So not only people play Pokemon now, they buy, you know, plushies, they buy whatever you is, t-shirts or whatever. And I guess Nintendo's looking at that and saying, hey, you know, we probably should be doing this too. we probably should be getting into the plushie game.
Okay, before we go, Kai, give us a tech fact for today.
So, speaking of e-commerce and buying stuff, so Black Friday is coming soon. As if we hadn't got enough. 11-11 just 12-12
also coming.
Just
Singles Day.
Yeah, Singles Day. And now it's spawned a whole wide swathe of different e-commerce days. 1-1-2-2, I don't know, 3-3 next. So Black Friday is on November 29th. But did you know that the phrase refers to the point in the year when retailers begin to turn a profit, thus going from being in the red to being in the black?
Oh, that's interesting. Because it always sounded really ominous.
So Black Friday.
Black Friday's coming. Yeah. Oh, shouldn't I try and hide
in fact,
or
that
something?
That ominous tone actually did sort of refer to Black Friday way back in the past. Because that was the day after Thanksgiving, right?
Right, right.
So the streets would be clogged with shoppers and all that. So black kind of denoted a really, like, you know, bad traffic and just like a whole crush of humans.
Or when Wall Street crashed in the days of yore.
Yes, that is really black indeed. Very dark.
All right. Thanks for your time, Wong Kai-yi, on TikTok today. Kai-yi, always a pleasure.
Thanks, guys.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.